say if our friend Tom was here, he'd say, well, hello there. Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. I'm Phil Parr. And Tom is not here because of some family problems, but he's alive and well. Don Patterson's here. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing pretty good on the eve of my medical procedure.
Knee surgery.
Little scope on my knee. Got some torn cartilage. Supposed to be just, they're going to do it Monday, and I'll be just like new Tuesday. Doesn't hold out for much.
But how good were you new? That'd be the question.
That's the thing. They told me to be sure and bring someone with me that could drive because I couldn't drive. And I said, you mean before this I could? You know.
Yeah. That's the question.
Yeah, they always do that. Then they call you and ask you, now, are you allergic to anything? Yes, I'm allergic to you.
Because I didn't know they laid hands on you. Know, I was.
They're going to heal you. All right, Don Shaw, obviously, is here. You can hear him laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Chortling in the background. Dale Campbell is with us today. How are you, sir?
That's right. I could be Dr. Campbell.
Hi there, Dale.
Dr. Campbell.
Hey, Pat.
D. Campbell.
Come on down, brother. I'll give you a bottle of tequila, get the drills out, and we can put it back together.
We can fix that knee, can't we?
That's right, and you don't need nobody to drive because you'll just keep here.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll just sort of hold you here. But listen, so we have a kind of a quorum, Dale and the two Dons and me, and Dan Rossi is going to be our guest. So,
all right,
Dale, Dan, Don, and Phil.
Four D's and a P.
All these D's.
Pretty much it, huh? Is it hot down there, Houston?
It is hot down here in Houston.
It is.
I bet you.
We're like, 95 with all that humidity, and I think what they say, the heat index is over 100 today.
Wow.
It's probably 92 or 3 here.
Hell yeah.
At least it's hotter than I wanted it to be.
I think the thing saving us today is it's a little cloudy and you got a little breeze kind of.
Well, if you're fixing dinner outside tonight, I can guarantee it's going to rain.
Yeah.
not much question about that.
That's right.
There was a place they talked about today up in Wyoming where the wind chill was 23 degrees.
Yeah,
whoa.
Lord. That's
somewhere in the Rockies there, north of Denver and south of Casper. But I was like, wow, lock some of that up and ship it this way, please.
No kidding.
They're still having winter, and you're here in the grips of whatever we're having. Anyway, welcome to Blind Handyman, show number 200. This is our 200th show. It's amazing. I never would have thought we'd get here, but this is the 200th Blind Handyman show, for whatever that's worth. And that will begin our vacation, but we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Don, Pat has some exciting list mail to read.
Yeah, it was a couple. I took it from a couple of different email or list list mails, and then really it sort of pertains to the same subject, just from different perspectives, I guess you could say. The first one is from our good buddy Lee Stone, and it says, "Do any of you own or use ladder attachments that would allow the ladder to lean on the roof and not against the siding? And do you leave these attached to the ladder or not? Thanks, Lee." And I did not see any responses, and so I actually went online and got a couple, if you want me to do that. Anybody else? Dale, you got any input?
The crews used to use them back when we were doing the roofing thing, but they would, of course, when they took the, I don't understand if he means leaving it attached when you take the ladder down or what.
Actually, where I started was just with his question, which was interesting, and I did ladder attachments. I Googled that, and you don't come up with much. Actually, what he's talking about, I think, and they're called stabilizers or standoffs. And they also even make some that would include like a paint holder. And they're designed to go on extension ladders. Of course, different brands may have their different models, but I use Warner ladders, and they seem to be the most common in these that fit. And they have like little rubber pads. You can lean them against the siding.
Yep.
You can also make them extend out, the way the angle of your ladder and the overhang of your roof would determine how long you needed some of these. Like on one of my structures, I have like a foot overhang, and then if you put a gutter up there, which I did, you've got another 6 inches. So I would need something pretty substantial, 18, 20 inches.
Yeah.
To get me out where I needed to be.
Yeah, that's a fine idea.
The two, the standoffs actually go like, how an aluminum ladder or fiberglass for that matter, where the rungs of the ladder are on each on the outside on the rails, there's holes. A hole that would go all the way through those rungs are hollow.
Yeah,
I guess.
They are. Yes, they are.
And so some of these, just from the picture I could determine, is they attach using that hole some way. They stick out from your ladder at, like, almost at a 90-degree, a straight line pointing toward the structure. And then they come with all kind of padding, rubber pad and everything, so they would be designed not to damage your siding or whatever they lean against. They even make some that I couldn't exactly figure out how that would actually attach to the gutter or where it would not damage the gutter and it would give you ample support. They also show this, and I'm going to give you, just Google this, Lee, since we'll direct you. You sent the question, so I'll direct this to you. It's ladder, industrial ladders. And this company seems to thrive on this kind of thing.
This would brace the ladder against the house.
Rather than touching your
rather
gutter.
Rather than touching your gutter, or even if you didn't have a gutter, rather than getting on the edge of your roof and breaking the edge of the shingles.
Right, the shingles and doing your drip guard down.
That'd be great.
And they also made one that extends like left to right far enough to encompass a double window. So if you had a job to do at a double window, and obviously you can't lean the ladder against the glass.
Right.
This would extend out left and right to a place that big enough to accommodate that double window.
Well, that'd really make the ladder steady.
And they also make one that I could have used because I was working at a corner, and also the ground was very sloped, and so I needed to lean my ladder against the corner. They make one that goes around corner. Showed it on a brick wall where you can actually work at your structure from that corner position. Also, this same company, he didn't ask about this, but it goes would fit right in there, is like ladder levelers, and where your attachments or the standoffs that we were talking about attached to the top of the ladder. These ladder levelers attach to the bottom legs, and they in a sense are on the outside of the rail, and they're telescoping, so you could have one leg like up on the curb, and your other leg is hanging off the curb, so you could lower this support down and catch that and make your ladder
something. What a deal.
That beats the hell out of using cinder blocks and pieces of wood.
I've always used.
Dangerous.
Nail a two-by-four up there to lean your ladder against.
And anyway, like I say, the place to go look this up is Industrial Ladders. And they had a pretty long website, so Google it and find a link to it. And, and so maybe that'll help.
Boy, it's really nice. We've actually fooled around and answered a question.
Well, we didn't hear any comment from Campbell.
Y'all 200 chose to do it.
Yeah, we didn't hear anything from Campbell, so I'm not sure if he thinks we answered it.
You're a roofing guy, Dale. You obviously use these.
That was awesome. I mean, that was perfect. The ones our guys used did that. They attached to the rungs, except with our crews being, they used them on top of the roof instead of underneath, against the siding. They put them where they leaned against the shingle plane.
Yeah.
Right, I've seen them.
A couple bundles of shingles and lay those across the gutters and lean the ladders up against them.
Right. Yeah. I've seen ladders where they're almost going up perpendicular. They have some tilt to them, and then the support is leaning against the actual roof, And to answer his question is, do you leave them on the ladder or not? Some of the smaller ones like these standoffs I was saying that stick out about 10 inches, I would say, they wouldn't bother you. But these long ones left to right, they may get in your way. But most of them talk like that you didn't need any tools specifically to attach them. They're either spring-loaded clamps. I guess some of the heavier duty ones are. You screw on them, but it doesn't seem like it's such a big deal to remove them.
Of course, the only thing is, being blind, it would be hard to get that thing in place. How would you know? You'd reach up there, you wouldn't know what was up there. You'd have to almost have to have some sighted help to do this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, to put your, if you were going to do something to a window, if you knew you were going to clean a window, you would sort of have to have an idea of what you were doing.
Yeah.
All right, and the second one, and I apologize because I didn't get the person's name, but several people sort of batted this around and responded, but the main gist of the thing is they were talking about these goodness
Yes.
The little giant ladders. And there's a couple of other comparable brands that I can't remember.
Gorilla
the
is one of them.
Gorilla ladder. Okay. Anyway, and the specific question was, like I say, this was battered around on the net, was the one guy said that he didn't see any of them that would make a trestle. And I'm wondering, maybe he doesn't, I'm not sure what his definition of a trestle or trussle would be. If he means using the part of the ladder itself to be the center support, like a scaffold, I don't see any. But both the little giant, which is the one that I got a lot of the poop on, says that in their one most popular ladder, it makes into two trestles, and then you put your scaffold between them. That's just two shorter A-frame ladders in the A-frame position that you stick a 2x12 through and make the if that's now. If you're talking about real heavy-duty industrial trestle ladders, yeah, they make them. But, I mean, it's like a metal. I mean, you're talking thousands of
dollars. But you used to take two little step stools.
Right.
And lay a 2x6 between them and kind of make your little scaffold to get up to do to paint or to get up and tack on a fascia board or something. Little step stools that you can buy at Walmart.
And in this ladder, in fact, I got it. If he was curious, it also talks about, you know, remember the key word, I think, dealing with the little giant or any of them. It says ladder system. That sort of implies that to do some of their configurations, you may need more than one of their...
May need a couple.
You may need. Now, but anyway, their most popular model, it says here, is Model 22. It's our most popular model. It'll reach most second-story roof lines. Its storage height is 5 feet 7 inches. Its extension height, the maximum, is 19 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's their best. Its step ladder height is maximum 9 feet. Its weight, its storage weight is 42 pounds.
Whoa.
That's a healthy ladder.
And you can have this little puppy for 4 monthly payments of $99.95.
So it's $400. $400.
And then they will ship it. They will ship it free in 4 to 6 weeks.
I bet they will.
Payment option number one. Number one. Payment option number two is to pay them $399.80 in cash.
Yeah.
It says they're also, with that package, they're giving you a free work platform. It's a $69 value, and it attaches to the top of your ladder and, like, makes a little shelf if you were painting or something like that. Anyway, and like I say, it keeps referring to it as the ladder system. Now, if you'll go to ladders.com, just www.ladders.com, there's a little tape. A little video you can listen to, and it talks about that each one of these is supposed to make 24 different ladders. It makes what they call the A-frame ladder. We know what that is, the typical configuration of a step ladder. Then this one makes what they call staircase ladders. That's where you would have one side shorter than the other, which you could put like up on the second stair in the bottom ladder, as opposed to using the ladder levelers we talk about.
Yeah.
This ladder, these are supposed to have these three patented three-position lock hinges. And it will make then the trestles it talks about. One of these systems splits in half and will make you two trestles, but they didn't look very tall, maybe like 3 feet. So anyway, that I don't know if that helps or not, but that's...
That's a lot of information about ladders. Now, we need to discuss if you're trying to rescue your girlfriend from the window, get her out unbeknownst to her parents night.
She's got long hair.
The best thing is using, I don't know what the best thing is, I haven't done that in a long time, but sure, there may be some folks out there listening who are wanting to do that. That's a use for, remember James? Hold the ladder steady. You don't remember that, huh? The old Brenda Lee song from... Dale wouldn't remember it. There's somebody on the phone. Should we just answer it?
That must be Mr. Dan.
Could it be Dan?
I bet it could be.
Could it be Dan?
It's possible. It's possible.
Dan? Oh, Dan.
Who's
behind? Tom.
What? Oh, it's Tom. Well, listen, we're on the air. What are you doing?
I was going to ask you a question, but I'll catch you later.
Well, let me ask you this. If they allow that, what about daytimers?
I don't know any details yet.
The FCC is about to allow AM radio stations to have a translator, an FM translator, in their market. So if you have an AM station, you can have a little low-power 250-watt FM to supplement your AM signal that wasn't covering the city. Is that right?
That's right.
All right.
Basically, going to have a little FM.
But what if you're a daytimer?
I don't know.
Do some research and call us back.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
What's going on? I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you when we get off.
Okay.
Bye. That's my engineer friend, Tom Fussell.
Yeah.
Make sure the line's clear here, men. All right.
That's right.
Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun. It is.
There it is.
Trinity.
All right.
All right. Little FCC talk. We got to kill time until Dan calls.
All right. I have something else.
Dan's into me. Or Don has something else, friends and neighbors. Go ahead.
I don't know how many. I think all of us have been involved in this at one time, and I don't care if it's starting a lawnmower, anything with a pull rope, an outboard motor, or kicking, instead of the rope, kicking on a motor scooter or cycle that will not start.
Yeah, there's usually a lot of cussing involved with that, isn't there?
Yeah,
yes.
Usually there is. Yeah.
That's
got to be Dan.
Hello?
Hello, Mass. Please speak to Mr. Phil Parr.
Well, you are speaking. How are you, sir?
All right, how are you doing?
Well, you're early.
Hey, Dan.
I'm early, sorry.
We have a Don Patterson.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Don.
Don Shaw.
What's happening, Dan?
And Dale.
Don, how are you doing?
Good.
Dale Campbell from his home in Houston.
Hey, Dale.
Hey, Dan.
How's it going?
Good, man, good.
All right, so we have the whole crew. We were just, you're on, so you can, we'll just leave you up and you can help us answer these exciting list mail questions here. Now is Don Patterson. We're going to talk about ropes, pulling ropes on the...
Well, anyway, and like Dale said, it involves a lot of cussing, but starting a chainsaw or whatever. But here, about a week ago, my old Ryobi weed eater just finally crapped out. And then I had it modified, and I had a new string loader put on at a high speed. But somehow I think the shaft is just twisted. Anyway, it's not. I'm not going to spend another dollar on it. Uh-huh. So I called our place here in Lufkin. It's air-cooled engines. They sell lawnmower, everything.
All kinds of air-cooled things.
Different brands and everything. And I said, and the one thing I did like about my Ryobi that I'd modified was the speed load string holder. In other words, your string is pre-cut to 8 or 10 inches. You insert it in a little slot. It has like a little spleen in there. You can pull it one direction, but you can't pull it the other. So it won't come out. It's a hell of a lot easier than putting on a spool of thread for you people who have tried that. Anyway, so I called him and I said, I'm interested in whatever brand of new weed eater you have that comes equipped with this speed load thing.
Uh-huh.
He says, I have just the thing. And not only that, it's the easiest starting machine you'll ever encounter. I said, can my wife do it? And he said, a six-year-old child can start it.
Yeah.
Went down there, you hold it in your left hand, and you pull it. But you don't have to pull it with a lot of muscle. You just pull it to a little point, and it's some kind of ratchet. It is an echo, and it is some kind of ratcheting system. And I guarantee you, you can pull it with a little finger.
Wow.
And it will start.
Man.
And so it actually pulls back the other way and starts somewhere.
Well, when you get it past the point of no return, and it, you know, you exert a little, but nothing like pulling a chain. You just kind of pull
That's
up.
Cool,
and
man.
That rascal, I mean, Emily loves it because she doesn't have to call me and listen to me cuss.
And she can weed eat, and you don't have to.
Yeah, she weeds eat, and she doesn't even have to listen to me cuss like she used to when I had to go start it.
That's neat.
It's called the Echo. And I'm sure somebody else has another brand. And, you know, on small lawnmowers, they finally even got down to even on walk-behinds where they put batteries. That was the neatest thing. But, buddy, this is the next best thing to it.
All right. And who made it?
Echo.
Echo. That's a good
name.
They
make chainsaws, and I'm not sure that they – I don't know that if they've incorporated that on their chainsaw, but – anyway.
It sounds good. That'd be great.
Well, all right, Daniel, why don't we take a little short break here and come back and hear the story of the great... Let's see. Let me get some echo up here. Hang on. Hang on. Let's see if this will work. Let's see. The story of the great... I can't make it work.
You're not echo.
Well,
right.
The story of the great radiator. All right. There we go. Echo.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a little break and come back and tell that. Ready?
Sounds good.
Thanks, sir. Hang on. We'll be right back. Frankly. All right, now I'm here. Let's see these. There we go. All right, we're back.
Until now.
You're listening to The Blind Handyman. I'm Phil Parr, along with Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Dale Campbell. Where is Dale? There's Dale right there.
Dale's here in the house.
Dale is right there. And Dan Rossi is with us from Pittsburgh, PA. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just great. How about you guys? You
get through with your meeting and all that? Take care of all that?
Yeah, it's all taken care of.
All done. A big meeting. You hate meetings, don't you? Everybody hates
meetings.
Yes,
I do.
meetings. Well, let's give you a little history. Dan, you recently bought a house, a couple of years ago?
Not quite 2 years. Coming up on 2 years.
And also got married shortly
after.
Yeah,
that was just 9 months ago.
So big things have happened in your life. You bought your first house and became a husband.
Yep.
And decided that this house, while it was a nice house, it needed some touches. It needed a deck, and it needed new floor in the living room for two things, right?
So those were the two things that it, somehow after you buy a house that you think needs nothing, you suddenly decide that it needs something.
Yeah.
And that's what we decided it needed.
Was a deck and new living room floor.
Exactly.
All right. So we set about doing. The deck is not finished, right?
The deck's not started.
Dan.
It started.
It's like my deck.
It started in my mind. It's all done. I mean, it's really, it looks really nice.
It started in that you drilled a hole through this concrete wall and ran the dryer. I mean, you've done a lot of preliminary.
Yeah, so I did, in fact, drill and chisel and hammer my way through a 12-inch concrete block foundation wall to get the dryer vent out. And I did hang half the ledger board. And I think this weekend, possibly, we will be starting to dig the post holes.
The footers.
Yeah.
Okay, for the post holes. We're coming in October. We'll be sitting out in October with our mint juleps on your back deck then.
Of course, as long as you're wearing your fleece and sweaters and jackets. This is the Great North.
Because it's cold up there in October, I suppose.
Well, for a Texan, I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, and the other project was a living room floor. You decided to go with tongue and groove wood.
Yeah, pre-finished hardwood.
I thought.
Yeah, it's butterscotch oak.
Man.
Butterscotch oak. Must be $10 a plank.
No, it really wasn't that bad. I mean, it was, how much was it? It was about, well, with all the trim and everything, somewhere between $800 and $900 for a 180-odd square foot floor.
That isn't really that bad.
I mean, no,
that
wasn't that bad.
But now, this house also was a rather smallish house. And
rather small. It's a cozy house.
Cozy. Well, it's big enough for you, just the two of you.
Oh, yeah.
My house is small, but it's big enough for Luann and I.
If he ties into another project, it may not be big enough for me.
we haven't
talked about the closet upstairs yet. It's another story that you did. But in I'm trying to walk up to this. Kind of in the living room, this house was heated at one time by steam boiler from the basement.
Hot water.
No. Hot water, yeah. And go ahead. You decided that you.
So there are these rather large cast iron radiators throughout the house, and when we were putting the floor down, we got up to the radiator or close to the radiator, and we realized this is going to be a bear to be able to put down put the boards down and cut them out around the radiator, and you're going to have to hand hammer a lot of the boards, because when you get too close to the radiator, you can't use the pneumatic floor stapler and around the pipes and everything behind the radiator. We were thinking it's just going to be tough.
And we're not going to use this radiator in the living room anymore because we have a fireplace insert.
Well, what happened was my wife Teresa decided, or brought up the possibility, like, wow, it'd be great if we could just get rid of this radiator. And we started thinking about it. It's like, we could get rid of the radiator and remove it, but we'd need to supplement the heat in the room. And so we started investigating these ventless gas fireplaces. And so we we decided we were going to go with a ventless gas fireplace, and that would allow us to pull the radiator out of the room. So we got the radiator disconnected, which was a bit of a harrowing experience with monkey wrench, liquid wrench, and a 2.5 foot long pipe.
I betcha.
Old plumbing going on too, Dan.
I'm sorry.
Was there a little cussing going on too?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right.
I originally went at it with a monkey wrench and a hammer, and then decided I just needed some more torque, and but eventually I actually managed to get all the pipes disconnected without smashing anything, including my fingers.
Uh-huh.
No pipes broken. Everything came apart pretty straightforward. We got the radiator. This thing is, it's 5 feet long, 28 inches high, and 8 inches wide, and it's cast iron.
And weighs?
It weighs, we're guessing, about 450 pounds.
Good.
Wow.
I can basically kind of grab it, and using my legs, I can lift one end and kind of move it a little, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So I kind of managed to get it up onto a piece of plywood and with some towels under it so we could push it around at least, and we pushed it out of the way, and it was sitting up against another wall in the living room, and so that enabled us to
put the floor there where
the rest of the floor.
Was. Yeah.
But now I had a 450-pound radiator sitting in my living room, not connected to anything.
My second wife's mother was about that size. No, only kidding.
The radiator's probably a lot quieter.
Yeah.
That's right. It's true.
Yeah.
Now, not only was this radiator big and heavy, but you decided that you wanted to take it. What did you want to do with it? Where did it need?
Well, so I had two options. I could try to get it down the four flights of steps to the street and put it out for the trash, or throw it on a truck and take it somewhere to recycle or whatever. I could possibly have, you know, broken it into several pieces, which would have made it a little easier to move down all those steps. The other possibility was, at some point in the nebulous future, I would like to finish my basement and put some heat down there. And I thought, rather than have to go through all the trouble of getting rid of this thing and then go out and buy a new radiator and have to get it in there, maybe we could just get this radiator into the basement.
Down the basement stairs.
Yes.
God, you know.
Now, moving a 450-pound radiator through the house and down the basement stairs did pose a few challenges.
It did.
But due to a little engineering background and a bit of lunacy on my part, and a good buddy who was willing to risk life and limb with me, we went out and purchased some 3/4-inch plywood and ripped that in half, and then ripped one of the halves in half. So we ended up making a 24-inch wide, 12-foot long ramp, which pretty much covered the basement stairs. And it's amazing just how steep stairs are when there's a ramp on them.
Yeah.
And 450 pounds coming down.
Well, we were just concerned with things like...
Did y'all flip a coin to see was on the top end of the...
Yeah.
We were more concerned about getting out of the basement in a hurry because we were still working. We put the ramp up, and then we were trying to brace it up, and I wanted to put a 2x4 along the edge to help prevent the radiator from skidding sideways off the stairs.
And, the stairs are open on one side.
Yeah, they're open to the basement on one side and up against the wall. We were kind of working our way up and down the stairs, and my buddy Mark offered me all the money in his bank account if I would put on some rollerblades and go down the ramp, but I chose not to take him up on that.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be a wild.
Knowing you, I'm surprised you didn't do it.
Well, he even offered that I could put a mattress at the bottom, but I wasn't buying in.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that.
No.
You're going to have that.
So we built a little frame of 2x4s, so just 2 5-foot-long 2x4s laying next to each other with 20-inch-long 2x4s screwed to the tops of those across them. So you made a rectangular frame. And we took that upstairs, and we managed to wrestle the radiator onto that. I drilled holes in the two cross members because the radiator has legs. So I drilled a couple of holes on each of the cross members, and we managed to get the radiator into this frame.
Sitting with the legs into the holes that you drilled.
Exactly.
That's pretty neat.
And then, well, what we actually only put one board, one of the cross members, screwed it down to one end, and then we basically wrestled one end of the radiator in, and then we just kind of laid the other board on and then wrestled the other end in because we weren't exactly sure. We had, you know, it was going to be too difficult to line everything up perfectly. So with one board that we could move around a bit,
yeah,
it was a little easier to get it in. And then we screwed it down. Then we put a couple of big eye hooks in the side rails and took a big piece of webbing and wrapped it around the radiator and tied it down to the eye hook so that was going to prevent the radiator from falling sideways off its little
so this radiator is still standing up.
Yes, it was too tall. My basement door and basement stairs are very, very narrow, and so the actual distance between the door jams is a little less than 24 inches.
So you couldn't lay it down.
That
wasn't an option.
No. So we cleaned out the kitchen. Had to take a big cupboard, freestanding cupboard, out of the kitchen, and we maneuvered the sled with the radiator on it into position in front of the basement stairs.
Okay.
We tied a climbing rope to the end of the radiator. We stood a 4x4 post outside the kitchen window, which is directly in line with the basement stairs.
Okay.
And wrapped some webbing around the 4x4 post. And then
because otherwise you put it at the top of the stairs and let it go.
if we just let it go, I mean, there was going to be a broken radiator and a lot of broken concrete at the bottom of the stairs.
At the end of the wall. Sure there was.
Yeah, what was at the bottom of the stairs, the wall?
About 6 feet from the bottom of the stairs, there's actually not a wall, about six, well... Yeah, no, we had to move. There was a closet there. We had to move that out of the way. So, yeah, about 6 feet from the bottom of the stairs, there is another concrete wall. So we didn't want to just put this thing on skates and let it go. So,
right. See where it stops.
So I used a couple of big steel carabiners through the webbing on the 4x4, and then a belay device, which is something you use in rock climbing. It's a friction plate that the rope goes through, and it creates a lot of friction on the rope. Depending if you pull the rope sideways, it puts hundreds of pounds of drag on the rope.
Which you needed hundreds of pounds.
Yes,
of drag.
You needed quite a few hundred pounds.
Yeah.
And I've caught somebody who weighed about 240 pounds in they only fell maybe 4 feet while we were climbing. And I was able to catch her, and so I figured if I could catch a 240-pound person falling 4 feet, I should be able to control a 450-pound radiator on a ramp.
Okay.
So got everything tied up. Everything's ready. The belay device is ready. And we have it positioned, and we keep going over what could possibly go wrong.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was terrified that, you know, it would get cockeyed on the ramp and it would jam and then it'd be stuck on the stairs. I thought the stairs could collapse. We weren't sure when we were pushing it over the edge, would the 2x4 snap as it, you know, we were rolling them over
as
the
you
edge
got,
of the stairs.
As the fulcrum when you got right in the middle of the 2x4.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, a lot of things could have gone
Man,
wrong.
That's so
fact.
Funny.
That so
funny.
We had Teresa take pictures of us to give to the coroner for
in case
so he could put us back together for the funeral in case anything disastrous went wrong.
Yeah.
And Mark started sliding it. I was on the belay, and at the far end of the kitchen. And Mark
All
started.
Right, Mark, let's go.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff, right?
He started pushing it toward the stairs, and then before it got to the midpoint, he started lifting up on the back end.
Uh-huh.
And it got up high enough, and then he slid it forward, and it eased over, and the front edge of the sled touched down on the ramp and it stopped and everything was kind of in static. You know, the rope was holding it.
You were holding it back outside the kitchen window.
Well, I was still inside the kitchen, but the 4x4 was kind of outside the kitchen window.
Okay.
That was holding that you had to tie it around.
Exactly. And then he said, well, go for it. And I just started easing off on the rope, and it inched its way forward. and then there was a bit of a scary moment when the back edge, because it was kind of like a 2-inch drop from the floor of the kitchen to the ramp,
the
edge of the ramp was, and it kind of bounced down on there, and we all held our breath, and it was on, and then we just eased it down. I mean, all the preparation took 3 hours, and getting it down the ramp took minutes, and it just slid down the ramp very nice and smooth. And then, of course, when the front hit the bottom of, you know, hit the basement floor, it stopped there.
Yeah.
And so I gave Teresa the belay line, and Mark and I kind of gently climbed down the stairs and over the side of the steps into the basement, and then we just kind of eased it forward while Teresa was still belaying it from above, and it just kept inching forward, and then it dropped off the bottom edge of the ramp, and it was...
And there it was, sitting there. So you just pushed it over where you wanted it. Did you take it off its sled? Or
no, it's still actually strapped to the sled right now.
Why not?
Because it was just, why bother trying to lift it off the sled now?
That's right, point.
And besides that, Dan, what are you going to do when Teresa says, you know, that would have made a nice conversation piece back up in the living room?
No, that the pig is in the basement and will remain in the basement forevermore.
I don't think it will ever make
it out of the basement.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you this, because I guess I don't have the layout of your house exactly. At least you were just one level above the basement, or did this have to come down another flight of stairs?
No, it was just one level. It went from the main floor to the basement.
But if you would have taken it outside, it would have had to have gone...
So, yeah, if we took it outside, it would have had to go down like 5 steps from the front porch to the courtyard where we live. But our courtyard is 4 flights of steps above the street.
Okay.
On a
goodness.
Hill.
So your basement is, although it's in the ground, is still above street level, right?
Yeah, well, my basement is only... First, it's only partially submerged, so it's only about 3 to 4 feet submerged.
Okay.
And the rest of it is above ground, so I have big windows, above ground windows in my basement.
That would be so nice.
But the entire courtyard, all the houses, all the little townhouses, there's 20 little townhouses on this courtyard. That whole courtyard is on the top of a hill, and so you have to go down all these steps to get to the street from the courtyard.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, there's no other way to get to the courtyard. You go up or down these steps. So, anything, all the big heavy stuff that we have to bring in or take out, all goes up and down those stairs.
I bet the moving companies love it when someone moves in or out.
Oh, it's the moving company when I was moving in and I gave the guy the address and then I said, well, you know, there are a lot of steps. He's like, yeah, I know. When you got to that 3rd 5, I knew where you were going.
Yeah.
He'd been there before.
It's well known by all of the moving companies in the area.
Well, so you have neighbors very close to you.
It's an attached house. So I have neighbors, physically attached on one side. I'm an end unit, so I have 3 external walls and then a shared wall.
That's neat.
And you're going to bring the deck around one of the wall that would normally, if you were a middle unit, you wouldn't have.
Right. Exactly. It's on the one long outside wall of the house, and it's gonna be on about half of that wall, and then it'll wrap around the back a little bit, just with a little 4-foot wide peninsula around the back to get to the back door. So
will there be some basement windows under it?
Unfortunately, it's going to cover one of the basement windows. Not optimal, but I don't really have any other choice.
Yeah. What do you need basement windows for anyway?
It's kind of a drag because it's the south side of the house. It gets a lot of sun, so the basement is actually pretty sunny.
Yeah.
But it won't be once we put a big deck on top of the window.
But you could still open the window and open another window and get a little breeze.
Oh, definitely.
Because in the summer, if it got 80, 90 degrees there, it'd get hot down in that basement. I mean,
basement actually stays, well, cooler than the rest of the house. But yeah, I mean, that south wall, that big, you know, it's a big brick wall, and it just soaks up the sun all day. And then at night, it gets hotter in the house. As the temperature cools outside and those bricks start radiating, it gets hotter in the house.
That's amazing.
It is.
Dan, I have one other question. I'm kind of confused. When you took the radiator out and you said the fittings and the pipe wrenches all worked and it came loose, but now those pipes were either coming up through your floor or out from a wall. How did you cap this off and still maintain the other system?
So where the pipes do come up through the floor and attach to the radiator. So after I disconnected the radiator, I went into the basement, and that radiator is just, you know, one loop off of the main lines that go to the radiators upstairs.
Right.
And so I took the pipes off from the T's that came out from those lines, and then I capped the T's.
Okay.
Okay, but it was just one loop. It wasn't feeding anything else.
No, it wasn't feeding anything else. It was a parallel loop.
Yeah.
So
very
the biggest
lucky.
Problem was, you know, you have to spray this liquid wrench, which just reeks, and I'm spraying it overhead. It's dripping all over me. And then you got to kind of spray the liquid wrench on. You tug on it a lot with the monkey wrench and pipe, and then you spray some more liquid wrench on it. A little while later, you wait, and then you start pulling on it. And I mean, these things, even it wasn't like they just broke loose and then I could spin them out. I mean, I had to use the monkey wrench and
all the time
with the big, you know, pipe on it the whole time to get these things to twist off, because they were just not coming off.
They've been there for years.
But you've got this this one loop capped off, but you think that maybe you'll hook that radiator up in the basement sometime.
Yeah, at some point I think we'll probably run another loop and hook it up in the basement. I'm looking at getting a new furnace at some point, and we're probably going to move the furnace from where it is and get a high efficiency furnace that vents horizontally out the wall rather than up the chimney.
Uh-huh.
And that way I can move it out of the way, because it's kind of in the middle of one of the walls of the basement, and if I could move it to the far end, the back of the basement, it would be more out of the way. And I'll probably have the second floor and the first floor segmented into two zones so that you can control the heat on the second floor and the first floor separately, because right now it often gets pretty warm on the second floor.
Because you don't have any control.
You don't have any control. You set the thermostats on the first floor, you set the temperature, and so the first floor stays at whatever the thermostat is, and the second floor, well, it's just really hot.
Yeah, because the heat's rising. Now, here's a guy that might want your saw, Dale. Dale?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You had the saw for this. You'd found this deal on this saw.
Yeah, we got a deal on some Chicago 12-inch miter saw, compound miter saw.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
How much?
Yeah, it's nice. We're going to be letting them go for like $150.
Ooh, baby. Dale, we have to talk.
But talk to me off. You know, give me a call and talk to me.
Will do.
$150.
Not bad.
Not a bad deal
at all. Is this a limited edition, a one of a kind?
These are on a closeout, so as long as they last.
They're around.
But currently you have more than one.
I've got one on order right now to get it in and check it out and see what it looks like. Yeah.
So they're not on closeout because of all the mangles and mutilations that have happened?
These are new saws, right?
Yeah, it's a brand new saw.
Brand new saw.
All right.
All right, you need one for your shop,
of course.
Daniel. Of course, you got the nice shop down there, a nice radiator in it, all sorts of nice things. All right, we're going to go, and we thank you for your story. This is our last show till the summer. We're going to begin our summer vacation. This is number 200.
All right.
So we're checking our little summer vacation, but we'll talk, and we'll see you in the fall. But we'll talk many times between now and then, sir. Thank you much.
Certainly. Thanks, Phil.
All right, Dan.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dan.
All right, let's take a short break, and Pat has a new... You bought a new something, huh?
What no, I already told you.
What did you tell me?
That was the weed eater.
About the weed eater. The weed eater.
But we can talk... No, we can talk about Dale's compound miter saw.
Yeah, we could talk about
take a short break. Yeah,
I saw a little special on basements that leak and the new system of how they fix them up. It's pretty cool.
All right, we'll talk about that or something else. Be back in just a minute. Hang on. Well, exciting show number 200.
200.
It's amazing that we do 200. I never thought it would last this long, but it, sure enough, it has. And our friend Tom, we're going to take most part of the summer off, I think about 7 weeks. Maybe he'll be well and ready to come back and join us. Had a little, some family things happen, and health-wise, some problems there. So maybe by the middle or end of June or July, rather, he'll be back. We'll be back in full swing. So you're selling tools now, Dale. You got compound miter saws for sale.
Yeah, we're just kind of looking and finding different, different deals on different tools and stuff. I mean, there's some are not that great deals, but sometimes like these, being this compound miter saw for $100.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
Is a very good deal.
Because, I mean, compound miter saws are $400 for a 12-inch model?
I think I paid $2.50 for the one I've got. It's been inside, yeah. And it's just my air compressor's 10 years old. It's hard to believe that I had that thing for 10.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
And it's still running fine. Don's about to get rid of his $75
Yeah, when the tool show came to town, I bought a 10-inch compound miter saw for $75, brand new.
Now, is it a compound miter, too, or just a miter?
It's a compound, 10-inch, but it's 10-inch, not 12, which is what makes yours. And I've used it and let it sit outside, and the motor must be perfectly sealed because it still works, but the blade guard broke. And I don't even know the brand name. Obviously, it's a no name. I told him I'm just going to scrap it out.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But yours sounds interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice little unit. I mean, it's got the stops on it for for quick setting your miters and compounds. And
right.
Yeah.
What I was really wanting was a sliding compound miter saw.
Oh, really?
Because when we moved into the house here, I had to give up my radial arm saw.
All right. So this one is not sliding.
It's not a sliding. Okay. It's just just a regular chop motion.
It's a chop saw that you can turn two different angles.
Okay, mine is a sliding compound miter saw.
Wow.
But I'm fixing
75.
It was brand new. Like the circus. They come to town. I bought a compressor from them for $75, but it lasted about 5 months. So all things are not good deals.
Well, they're not.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The drill press I bought for, I think it was $90, huge, big drill press with all sorts of different speeds and things on it.
Still working.
It's still working, and that's been seven. Well, let's see. It was the year I bought the building, so it was 1990. And I built the building, so it was 99.
Right.
So that's almost eight years ago. And it worked.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I've got a drill press downstairs that was my grandfather's, and the stamp, the plate stamped on it, has a date of 1944.
1944?
Yeah, it's a big old cast iron Duke, and it probably weighs as much as Dan's radiator.
What's to go wrong in a drill press unless you lose the drill motor?
Basically, it's the motor.
There's nothing, there's nothing else there. It's just a drill motor that's on a big frame.
That's it.
You remember when we put mine together?
Oh yeah.
That was. I know it was a long time ago because some people came over that day that wanted to record, and we were still recording on tape. I had not bought the big digital recorder.
We've come a long way.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
Y'all are moving up in the world.
I don't know about that. We're stumbling along. I need a beer. Go get it.
Getting to be almost that time.
It's getting to be almost that time. How much more have we got? What are we going to talk about?
About 3 minutes or so.
Well, surely we can kill. We can do kills.
3 or 4 minutes.
Somebody can talk about something for 3 minutes.
One time you asked Dale what the address is for Blind Mice Mart.
Oh, we haven't talked about Blind Mice Mart, have we? No. That'd be a 3 minute.
Blind Mice Mart. www.blindmicemart.com. We've got Braille Tactual Father's Day greeting cards. How about that?
Father's Day greeting cards.
Yeah, we've got a little lady up in Dallas that's getting a little company started, so we're starting to supplement her by selling her greeting cards online. And she used this little foam, fun foam, I guess it's called, cutouts of different shapes so that you can tactically feel the design and picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside the cards, you put the verse, call it matter message in Braille, and also in print. So they're pretty nice.
Braille greeting cards. What do I think of next?
That's really.
And you're selling those. How much are they?
$3.99, and mail them for.
Mail them as free matter.
Yeah. No. We put a stamp on them and mail them first class.
Oh.
If we have enough time, we'll ship them, you know, we'll send them pre-matter, but for 41 cents.
So y'all ship them from the to the address they require?
Yeah, okay. We'll either ship them to them directly, yeah. And then they can, you know, give it to grandpa or mom or dad, right. Or whoever you want to get, yeah, a card for. Or,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll mail them directly and put Braille on the envelope who it's from so they'll know who the card.
When is Father's Day, huh?
Father's Day is the 17th of June.
Yeah, well, my kid may be out of prison by then. He'll send me a
start getting license plates every year.
License plates. Yeah, that may happen. Father's Day, that Father's Day doesn't go over real well.
But
I guess
just between you and I, would you rather get a card from him in there or from him out
that
here?
That doesn't make me any difference anymore. It doesn't make me any difference anymore. I don't care. My daughter's out and doing well, got her job, and it seems to be doing fairly well. Her daughter's not doing too well, but my actual daughter, Sheila, is doing fairly good. I'm proud of the girl. She's for the first time, of course, she's over 40 now. She's finally kind of settled down.
Cut those apron strings and.
Well, she's called me two times sober, which is just wonderful.
All right.
I consider that certainly a step in the right direction.
Big steps right there.
Of course, I
big
wasn't, steps. But then, you know.
I was going to say, both of you haven't entered the 12-stepper, have you?
No, yeah, that's the deal.
Doing it. Now, I'm going to start the thing. We ready?
Yeah,
we're getting real close.
We're leaving. That's
close
it.
Enough,
we're leaving.
Yeah, watch out. Start the vacation early, you know?
That's right.
We're starting vacation early because of some problems that we're having, but we'll be back around, I figure around the 27th, our target date would be like the 27th. 7th of
July.
Of July. I think that's a Tuesday. I believe that's a Tuesday. So we'll kind of shoot for
be
that.
Back in time for August, huh?
Yeah. Back in time for August. Well, they got ACB conventions coming up, and the ACB radio will carry that, and also the NFB convention, and all the summer activities. So we'll just run some. We've done 200 shows. Surely they can find something to run, can't they?
There's got to be one in there they can pull and run again.
One in there. So we'll be in touch between now and then, sir. We'll probably come to Houston.
Yeah.
When you come
down here, let me know. We're going to be down in the islands at the end of the month, so we'll be on vacay too.
You're going to go down to your timeshare thing down there.
Yeah, we're going to hang out and listen to the blender run and the wind blow through the palms.
Yeah,
that'll work.
You taking Skyler with you?
Nope, just me, Mama, and the Dean dog.
Just you and Mama and Dean. What are you going to do with Kelsey? Skyler going to keep Kelsey?
Kelsey's going to Grandpa's.
Kelsey's going to Grandpa's. Is this permanent?
No. It'll just be while we're down there, but he's looking forward to it. So
he's not going to make
St. Croix. We all have fun, and I'll talk to you today or two, Dale. Thank you much.
Do that. Y'all take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Dale Campbell from Blind Mice Bar.
Yeah, all right.
Hang up there. I got to turn that Skype. I had it fixed last week, and it started making noise again.
Yeah,
anyway,
it did.
Thank you, Don Patterson. We appreciate you. We'll see you in July.
Yeah, we'll all be back and try it again.
Pat. I think he left. Left
he
early.
Left the building.
He went on vacation early. All right, Donald Shaw.
Right.
We'll talk to you in a day or two. Thank
all
you.
All right.
We'll see you all in July. We'll run some old shows, and we're going to have a good vacation. Y'all have take care, and we look forward to seeing you about the 27th of July. Bye-bye. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.